Today's daf in Masechet Yoma, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Nun. And we're holding at the first word right on the top of the daf, and let me just remind you what is going on. So the question that we had was, it all started with the issue of what happens if a Kohen Gadol dies after shechting the par. And now we have the dam that he was mekabel from the par, a new Kohen takes over, who's waiting over there, for this, exactly this type of event. He grabs the dam and he's ready to go in with that dam into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and do the regular zrikas and so on. So the question that we had is, can the Kohen take over the dam or not? And we had a Machlokas, we had Rabbi Hanina involved and Reish Lakish involved, and we also had Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha involved. And this part of the Gemara discusses the specific discussions between Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha and Rabbi Ami, where they asked each other from various places that seemed to imply one way or the other. So first, Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha, who holds that it's perfectly okay to bring in the dam of the par, because the dam of the par is also called the par. So he asked Rabbi Ami, who said, no, the dam of the par is not called the par. It says, Bezod Yavo Aaron Bepar. It means you have to bring a par, not just the blood. He has to bring his own par, and he has to shecht it. So Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha points out to Rabbi Ami, how could that be true? If way after we already did the Zrika, and all we've got is the leftover pieces, it still says, Vahotzi et kol hapar el michutz lamachaneh, el mekom tohor, el shefach hadeshe. So, what the heck? Now, that's not referring to the Yom Kippur, but what's the difference? I mean, that's referring to the par of the Kohen Gadol who made a mistake in Orah, and he had to bring a Korban Chatas. That's a special par Orah. But the point is that we did already the whole Aveda of the par, and it's one of the Parim on Nisrafim, because the blood is brought inside. And it says over there, take the par. What does the par mean? I mean, the par is just basically the pieces that are left. There's not even any dam. I mean, we're still calling it a par. So apparently, a par is a par even long after it was shechted. Says Rabbi Ami, no, that just means votzi et hapar, meaning to be motzi et kol hapar. That's what it's saying. The hotzi et kol hapar, the stress on kol hapar means anything left over. Shiotzi et kulo, that's all that it means. It's not that we call it a par at that point, but we're saying anything that could be left of that par. That's all it means. Leftovers of the par. Okay, says Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha, what are you going to do with the pasuk here in Acharimot, where it says, ve'et par hachatat, ve'et se'ir hachatat, asher huvat amam lechaper bakodesh yotzia michutz lamachaneh. You're calling it a par, and you're calling it a se'ir, after, as it says in the pasuk, asher huva et damam lechaper, and now it's saying, go take it on michutz lamachaneh. So how could you possibly think for a moment that we do not consider the actual pieces or the dam of the par and the soyer to be the full par and soyer? So how can you be telling me that, no, it's not called a par if it's only dam? Omer of Papa, there seems to be a fundamental mistake that we're making here. The question of par, velo bedomo shel par, is only about the dam of the par. Nobody argues that the actual body of the par after shechita is not called a par. Of course that's called a par. That's everything that's left. So what you're talking about, you've got the skin of the par and the basar of the par, the vorim of the par, and the innards of the par and the perish of the par. Everybody who knows that that's called par. Kuleyama pligi, there was never a machlokas between Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha or between Rabbi Hanina and Reish Lakish about that issue. The only issue was dam, because dam itself is really not associated with specifically with the body of this par. Dam is this generic product. And the question is that called the par? So that's where we had our machlokas. Mar sover dam ikre par, umar sover dam lo ikre par. But don't try to bring me rayas from parts of the body that are called the par. Of course they're called the par. That was never the issue. By the way, if you're bothered by the question of, so then why did we ask before about the Korban Pesach? We said it should be Achi Yizarek. What do you mean Achi Yizarek? If you're telling me that it's called the busser, is whatever, even after it's cooked, it's still called the par, so to speak. So it would still be called the kevis, right? That's true, says Tosfos. But it's meaningless because, you know, obviously cannot be added as an owner on a carbon Pesach once the carbon was already brought. I mean, the leftover food, it's all very nice that it's called a seh, but it's not a minoy on the seh. The minoy on the seh is to bring it as a carbon. That's why we said before that it would have to be actually zarek, certainly not more than that. Says Rav Ashi, I mean, just use our common sense, you know. Read the pasuk. I don't really understand how somebody could say that the dam is not called the par. Because, I mean, what do you think the pasuk means when it says, Bezot yavo Aaron el HaKodesh bepar ben bakar? What the heck does that mean? It means, what, he grabs a par by its horns and he drags it into the Kodesh? What, are you crazy? Par ben bakar? What does it mean? It means, bizot yavo aron al kodesh with the dam of a par. I mean, so then the pasuk is basically saying that the use of the word par is a reference to its dam. So what's going on? How could you say that it means an actual par? Bizot yavo aron al kodesh with par ben bakar, otu bakar ne'ma'i alev. Is he going to drag it in with its horns? It means with the blood of the par, right? And it's calling it par. It's saying Aaron should come in with a par. Obviously meaning with the dam of the par. The Edach, and how do we explain that? Come on. I mean, you know what the pasuk means? It means Bezod Yavo Aaron al HaKodesh means B'mahu Shar Aaron of al HaKodesh. That's the way everybody reads it. What is necessary to make it appropriate for Aaron to be allowed to come into the Kodesh HaKodesh? Bringing a carbon of a par. Obviously, the way to bring a carbon of par is the dam. It doesn't mean that the dam is the par, for heaven's sakes. It doesn't mean literally Bezot Yavo carrying the par in with him. Okay, now Rabosan. We are about to enter into a very complex, again, tangentials, which all revolve around one very simple question. In order to get into this without getting hopelessly confused by the sheer amount of material and issues that we're going to be raising, we need to understand that there is a serious problem with the whole discussion. And that is the par that the Kohen Gadol brings on Yom Kippur is a korban chatas, correct? And you're telling me that if the Kohen Gadol dies, the only thing I need to worry about is whether I'm going to be yotzei the tzchiyev of a par ben bakar with the dam of the par or not. There's a much more fundamental problem over here that makes a joke out of this whole discussion. What is that? You will recall that there are chamesh chataot metot, right? There are five different types of chataot where basically you cannot use it for anything. You just have to let it die. And one of those is a chatas where the person who is going to bring the chatas dies. So for heaven's sakes, if the Kohen Gadol was going to bring this par as a chatas, and then the Kohen Gadol dies, so then the chatas is completely puzzled. It's as puzzled as you can get because the chataot ha-metot will like aser anything that they even get mixed in with. I mean, they're terribly chomer as a psul for the mizbeach. So what are we discussing? The par of the Kohen Gadol who died? A chatas shemesu ba'aleha? That's crazy. So this fundamental issue that tries to basically undo all of our discussion. I mean, there's no point in questioning whether par or damash or par if the whole thing is puzzle anyway by the very virtue of the fact that the Kohen died. This is what is going to involve us in the remainder of today's daf. And the issues that it raises are complex because, let me just give you a little bit of the background. The din is that a chatas of a tzibur, obviously, is not one of the chamesh chataot hametot. And that's because a tzibur is not a particular baalut. It's a conceptual baalut of a tzibur. A tzibur can't die because the individuals who comprise the tzibur do not define the tzibur. So it's sort of like a corporate entity, so to speak. The corporation doesn't die. It doesn't matter who the new officers are. So when you're talking about a tzibur, ein tzibur meta. Now, this involves us in a lot of issues because a korban that somebody is bringing, which the Kohen Gadol is bringing over here, for other people, because remember, he's bringing it for all of Echav HaKohanim in the end. And in the end, he goes ahead and he says the vidui for them, the second vidui, right? So the question is that still called a chatas yochid? In which case, you're right, the whole sukkah makes no sense, because the moment that the Kohen Gadol dies, the chatas is possible, because it's a chatas shemesu ba'alav. Or might it be called a korban tzibur? Now, there's another issue that where this gets a little bit more iffy. And that is, a tzibur also has a specific definition. So let's say that you've got a par helam dover shel tzibur, right? How much of the tzibur is a tzibur? Is it the rov of Klal Yisrael? Could each one of the shvatim be considered a tzibur? Actually, yes. One shevet can bring a par helam dover shel tzibur for the shevet. But are the kohanim considered to be a tzibur? No. Only a shevet that has a chelek in Eretz Yisrael as a shevet is called a specific tzibur. And even people who live in Chutz La'aretz are not included in the whole din of the chatas par helam dover shel tzibur in terms of counting the tzibur. So if that's the case, we can't really call it a chatas tzibur. So now there's another issue. The other issue is that the five chataot hametot are a set, according at least to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. They are a set of five. And if any one of the five doesn't apply, then none of the five apply. Why is that important? Because one of the chamesh chataot hametot is a tmura of a chatas. So if somebody makes a tmura and he says, I want to bring this animal, which I think is much nicer, I'm going to bring this animal in place of this one that I had originally selected for my chatas, that is called a tmura. He tries to switch the kedusha of his chatas on a tmura. If he does that, then that tmura has to die. So, can a tzibur make a tmura? No. And that we learn out from a pasuk. How about, can shutafim make a tzibur, make a tmura? No. We learn that also out from a pasuk. Im hamer yamir is only a single individual. So, let's stretch the envelope a bit, because even if the Kohen's par is coming to be mechaper on Kohanim, and you don't want to give Kohanim the technical definition of a tzibur, you can still give them a definition of shutafut, right? I mean, it may not be a giant corporation, but it's a company, so it's Aaron Ubanov, okay? Aaron and sons, not incorporated. Very good. But that's enough to exclude the din of Tmuras Chatas, because there's no way to make a par Kohen Gadol to be a Tmura, because it is, so to speak, owned by the people that are part of the kuhuna for whom it's coming, correct? Now, once that's true, then that means there will be no din of a chata shemesu balea either. Because if you hold that all five, chamesh chataot, are part of a single set, and were given as a single grouping of ha'alokha l'mashmi Sinai, it's an all-or-nothing proposal. Either you've got five chataot ha'metot, or you have none. And since the par of the Kohen Gadol is not capable of having all five, because there's no way to make a tmura on a company-owned chatas. So because of that, it doesn't have the problem of chata shemesu ba'aleh either. Quite a chap, right? Okay, so that's the first part of our discussion, and that is going to involve us in all of these dinim about tmura, and can a tzibur make a tmura, and so on and so forth. But one of the other things that we need to talk about is the question of whether, technically speaking, a korban that is doche Shabbos or is doche Tuma, could that be called a korban yochid? Or is that sort of, by definition, a korban tzibur? Because it's got one of those primary expressions of tziburness. Namely, it's something that's done on Shabbos, it's something that's done on Tuma. That is the first part of our conversation, which we find very confusing. Because, and the reason we find it confusing is because there is a Mishnah in which the Tanakhama gives a ruling, and this is in Temura. And the ruling is that the difference between a korban tzibur and a korban yachid is that a korban tzibur is doicha Shabbos and Tuma, and a korban yachid is not doicha Shabbos and Tuma. Now that's obviously not a very good klal, because I mean certainly there are korbanos tzibur that are not doicha Shabbos. Let's say the korban that a tzibur brings on doing a chet, right? The par helam dover shel tzibur. That's a regular chatas. You don't have to bring that on Shabbos, and therefore you absolutely will not bring it on Shabbos. It's not going to be docha Shabbos. On the other hand, you definitely do have korbanot of a yachid that are docha Shabbos. Look, the par kohen gadol is docha Yom Kippur. The chavite kohen gadol is docha Shabbos. I mean, so that means that it's a very bad way to give the klal, right? But since the klal is given this way, it confuses us, because if we're going to say that the par kohen gadol is by definition, it's brought on Yom Kippur, which is Shabbos, it's docha Shabbos, so then that klal seems to imply that we call it a korban tzibur. And if we call it a korban tzibur, so then it also would not be a chata shemesu ba'aleo, because a tzibur can't die. So you can see how we get confused by these two sugyas. Now, what's fascinating is that even though at the end of our sugya, we're going to make it clear that, well, obviously, we don't really mean it's a korban tzibur, that is going to end up creating in the Rambam, that confuses everybody about the Rambam, and the Kesef Mishnah tries to sort of kvetch in a pshat, which is really very straightforward according to our Gemara. The Rambam goes right ahead and gives over that klal. The korban tzibur is docha Shabbos and Tuma, and a korban yochid is not docha Shabbos and Tuma. What? But the whole daf today is here to show us that that is not true. Right? So basically what the Rambam understands that the daf is doing is it's saying that, look, there's a shortcut for the way for people to remember this kind of thing. Why is it a shortcut? Because basically 99% of the time, it's a perfectly correct klal. The fact that there are these unique cases where you can have a tzibur bringing a chatas, or you can have a yochid bringing a korban that is kavua lo zman, I understand, but the words of the Mishnah are still true. And it's still a very, very clear way of referring to a korban that is docha Shabbos, and that's a korban tzibur. So fine, there may be korbanos tzibur that are not kavua lemzman. Understand. But nonetheless, he quotes the idea as it's given in the Mishnah, because it's obviously meant to be taken as a klal, even though if you want to get into the details, you need to recognize that it's sort of a very broad kind of klal that is not meant to cover all of the bases. And that's really what the end of the sugya today does. So what we need, the reason we need to go into this is because of our initial misconception that if you argue on that idea, then you're also arguing on the question of whether the par kohen gadol is called a korban tzibur or not. In the end, turns out that that is certainly not going to be the case. So with that introduction, let's just run right ahead and go slamming into the sugya without the least bit of concern, jump straight into the deep end of the pool, and here we go. So, asks the Gemara, wait a minute over here. V'tepukle dechata shemesu ba'aleahi, v'chata shemesu ba'alea lamita asla. Why are we discussing this? The par is puzzle. So what good is coming in with it's done? Omar le rovin baravada le rava. You know, they say your Talmidim spoke about this issue in the Beis HaMedrash, and they quoted Rav Amram. And Rav Amram said that the korban par of the Kohen Gadol is actually a korban chatas tzibur. And a korban chatas tzibur does not have the din of a chatas amesa, v'lola misa azla. And the reason, they said, that they're calling it a chatas tzibur is because, take a look at what the Mishnah says, and we have this Lashana makes it very clear. Omar lo Rebbe Meir. Now, this is a continuation, actually, of the sugya that we spoke about, that I just spoke about to you in Malpeh, because really it's a little bit confusing. It doesn't say this Lashana in the Mishnah. And so sometime it should say Ditanya, But Lamaisa, on the Mishnah, it says in the Braita, that Amar lo Rebbe Meir, so Rebbe Meir says to the Tanakhama, how can you say that the rule is that a Korban Tzibor is Docha Shabbos and Tumah, and a Korban Yochid is not Docha Shabbos for Tumah? V'halo par Yom HaKippurim v'chavite Kohen Gadol and a Korban Pesach, all of those things are Korban Yochids, aren't they? And anyway, they are Docha Shabbos and Docha Tumah. Now, what we, or not we, but the Talmidim of Rebbe, of Rava, were bringing a raya from this Mishnah, they said, look, I mean, if that's what Rebbe Meir says to the Tanakhama in the Mishnah, so apparently the Tanakhama in the Mishnah disagrees. And he holds that, no, all of these things are called a Korban Tzibor. And how the heck could we call the Parko and Godel a Korban Tzibor? Aha! Must be because it's being mechaper on all of the kohanim. So it's called a tzibur. How do we call a korban pesach a tzibur? Because it's all brought beknufya achas. All of Klal Yisrael comes together. So that is a type of korban tzibur. And how could we call the chavite kohen gadol a korban tzibur? Because in the event, remember, that the kohen gadol dies and we don't have replacement kohen gadol, then the tzibur pays for the chavitim. So ultimately, it's a korban that is the responsibility of the tzibur. Apparently, that's the machlokas between Rebbe Meir and the Tanakhama. So we see, therefore, that according to the Tanakhama, in the Mishnah in Tumura, that the par kohen gadol is called a korban tzibur. Ha! Says the Gemara, really now? Okay. So when we have the same argument on the same Tanakhama in the Braita, this one in the opposite direction by Rebbe Yaakov. And Rebbe Yaakov says, you call this a rule? What about the par halam davar shel tzibor? Isn't that a korban tzibor? Absolutely. And what about se'irei avodas kochavim that are brought when the tzibor does avodas kochavim? Isn't that called a korban tzibor? Absolutely. And what about a korban chagiga? Now that's a question. The Gemara is going to ask, why in the world are we calling a korban chagiga korban tzibor? We'll discuss that later. And are you not aware of the fact that those korbanos are not docha Shabbos and are not docha Tuma, even though they are a korban tzibor? So now, what are you going to tell me now? Go ahead. What are you going to tell me? Well, if that's what Rabbi Yaakov says, then obviously the Tanakhama who argues must hold that they're a korban yochid. You really believe that the Tanakhama is going to say that a par helam dover shel tzibor is a korban yochid? I mean, that's insane. Obviously, that's not what it means, right? So then what is the meaning of Rebbe Yaakov and Rebbe Meir? Not that they're arguing about whether it's a korban yochid or korban tzibur. They're arguing about whether the rule, the klal that the Tanakhama said, is a decent rule. That's all they're saying. So they're going back, both Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yaakov, they're both responding to the rule that the Tanakhama gave. So the Tanakhama koma hadele. So the Tanakhama said that a korban tzibur is docha Shabbos and Tumah, and a korban yochid is eino docha, lo es Shabbos v'lo es Tuma. And now these two mandiamrim, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yaakov, attack that ruling from two different points, right? So Rabbi Meir says, what kind of nonsense is that? You're making a rule that a korban yochid is not docha Shabbos and Tuma? That you call a rule? Kololohu? What about the par yom kippurim? To which you agree, of course. I understand we're not arguing about whether it's a korban yochid. You agree it's a korban yochid, and it certainly is docha Shabbos and yom kippurim. So what about the chavite kohen gadol? And what about the korban pesach? So all of those things are korban yochid. And you agree to that. We're not arguing about that. And therefore, you should not make the rule the way you made it, because they are docha Shabbos and Tuma. And comes along Rabbi Yaakov and says, and the other thing that you said, this is supposed to make sense, that every korban tzibor, that's a klal, that a korban tzibor is docha Shabbos and docha Tuma. That's ridiculous. What about a par halam davar shel tzibor, where we're obviously all agreed that that is a korban tzibor, and that's not docha Shabbos? How about the se'irim that are brought for avodas kochavim done by a tzibor? How come you're going to say that that should be docha Shabbos? Of course not. And the korban chagiga should be docha Shabbos? All of these things are korban tzibur, and they're not docha Shabbos. And they're not docha tuma. Why? Because your rule is wrong. The real rule is very straightforward. Ella, Taina, Rebbe Meir, and Rebbe Yaakov, nikot haiklola biyadecha. You want to say a rule? Let me tell you the correct rule. The correct rule is that kol shezmano kavua, wherever the Torah said that this thing must be brought at this time, b'moado. That's Docha Shabbos and Docha Tumah. I don't care whether it's a Yochid, I don't care whether it's a Tzibur. If the Torah says it needs to be brought now, then it needs to be brought now, even if that's a Shabbos, and even if the Kohanim are Tameh. So therefore, kol shezmano kavua, doches haShabbos, doches haTumah, whether it's Yochid, whether it's Tzibur, afilu Yochid. And if it's ein zmano kavua, it will not be doches haShabbos, it will not be doches haTumah, even if it belongs to the Tzibur, like the Paralim Davar Shel Tzibur. That's all they were saying. So that has no relevance to our question. Our question is it called a Korban Tzibur or not? So don't try to tell me that a par of a Kohen Gadol is called a Korban Tzibur because it's Docha Shabbos, please. Nobody ever suggested that, okay? Eisei Abaye. So Abaye says, wait a second, are you trying to tell me then that Rava, you don't agree to what your Talmidim quoted? You're trying to tell me that you hold that the par Yom HaKippurim is actually a Chatas HaMesa, and that despite the fact that it's Bechaper and all the Kohanim, you refuse to give it the status of a Korban Tzibur? So then what do you do with this Braisa, my dear Rava? Par V'Soyel Shel Yom HaKippurim She'avdu. Look what happens over here. Par V'Soyel of Yom Kippur, they're lost before I was able to bring them. So he was mafrish others instead of them. And then we find the original ones. Kulam Yamutu. All of them should die. Same thing is true. Si'irei avadis kechovim sha'avdu viva sha'cherim tachteyam kulam yamutu divrei Rabbi Yehuda. This Rabbi Yehuda says because they're all basically considered to be chata'ot ha'metot. But Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon say, no, they're not considered to be chata'ot ha'metot. Let them get a mum and we'll use the money for the karbanos of the olas kaitz ha'mizbeach l'nedava, because they are all chata'ot tzibur, and a chata's tzibur is not going to die. Now, excuse me, but it includes the par. It said over here, the par of the Yom HaKippurim. That is the par chata's of the Kohen Gadol. And it says, beferish over here, she'ein chata's tzibur mesa. So, I mean, there certainly is at least the shita of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, and they are saying openly that the par of a Kohen Gadol is a Korban Tzibur. Fine. So what's wrong with what your Talmidim said? I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. I'll leave it to Rabbi Elazar. Omar Leh said, Rava, you didn't understand. The par that it was referring to is not the par of a Kohen Gadol. It's the par of the Helam Dover Shel Tzibur. Oh, really now, says Abaye. Well, I mean, I read it, and here's what it says. It says, par v'soyer shel yom ha-kippurim. I don't see any mention of a par elam davar shel tzibur, for God's sake. So it's clearly referring to the Kohen Gadol's par. No, it's not, says Rava. That of Yom HaKippurim is only referring to the soyer. And it's true, the soyer of Yom HaKippurim is me'et b'nei Yisrael, you're supposed to take from the tzibur. Yes, indeedy. That's called a chatas tzibur. But the par, that was not the par of Yom Kippur. That was a par elam davar shel tzibur. Okay, says Abaye, look, I mean, I'm running out of patience over here. I'll bring you another brisa where you're not going to be able to get away with such nonsense. Look at this brisa. Vatanya, par shel Yom HaKippurim. Okay, just to make sure that we don't talk about the par elam davar shel tzibur, please. Par shel Yom HaKippurim, upar shel, soyer shel Yom HaKippurim, she'avdu. It's the same idea. It says beferish over here. Par shel HaKippurim. Hifish acherim tachteyem, kulam yamutu, divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, omrim, yirava achi yistaevo, yiplu domem l'nedava, yimokru, and so on. She'ein chatas tzibur mesa, ha ha ha. So you see over here that it is called a chatas tzibur, and it's a par of a Kohen Gadol. Now let's cut out the nonsense. Says Rava, nope, you're misquoting. It doesn't mean chatas tzibur. Lo tema she'ein chatas tzibur mesa. What you should say is she'ein chatas hashutafim mesa. I agree that the korban of a Kohen Gadol is certainly owned, so to speak, by all the Kohanim for whom it's brought. So it's a it's a company korban, but it's not a corporate korban. Therefore, I don't like what you said, that it's called a chatas tzibur. Oh, come on, says the Gemara. There's a limit to pedanticness here. Who cares? It's a korban yochi, the korban tzibur, korban shutafim. I mean, for heaven's sakes, that's irrelevant to the argument. The point is, if it is a korban of shutafim, can it make a tmura? No. And if you hold like Rabbi Shimon, you're telling me it's all one set. And therefore, if tmura cannot be made, there's no such thing as a korban chatas tmuras chatas shemesa. So then there's also no such thing as a chatas shemesu ba'alea mesa, because it's all one set. No tmura, no chatot ametot at all. So, I mean, what are you sitting over here arguing with me about some ridiculous point that's irrelevant to our sugya? I called it a chatas tzibur. You're putting me through all of these loops here that I've got to jump through all the hoops until you finally prove to me, no, it's not called a chatas tzibur, it's called a chatas ashutafim. Fine, it's called a chatas ashutafim. But do we have an answer to our problem? Yes. The problem was, why are we discussing the par Kohen Gadol if the Kohen Gadol died, since it's puzzle? And the answer is, it's called a chatas tzibur / shutafim, okay? Whichever one you want. But that's enough of a reason for it not to die. So why are we arguing about this? Says the Gemara. So my nafkamina, I don't care. Okay, call it what you want. No, says Rava. What do you mean call it what you want? Do you realize what kind of catastrophic damage you're going to be causing to the world by calling it a korban tzibur? Give it its right name. It's a company korban. Damage to the world. What am I going to do? Because if we accept your phraseology, Abaye dear, then one day, if the Kohanim make a mistake, let's say Bezdin Shel Kohanim makes a psak, and all of the Kohanim do an Aveira, so they'll say, oh, Abaye said that it's considered to be a korban tzibur. That means he holds that the Kohanim are a tzibur. Ah, but a tzibur brings a par helam davar shel tzibur. So you're going to end up bringing a par helam tzibur on Kohanim, and there ain't no such tzibur. That's why you're wrong. I object not to your logic. I object to your loose wording. And that's why I'm putting you through these oops. Delo maise Kohanim par bahora'a. That's what it's all about. All right. Still, says the Gemara, there seems to be a shita that holds that the par Yom HaKippurim is indeed called a korban tzibur, not a korban shutafim. Toshma, the boy Rabbi Elazar. We have over here the question that Rabbi Elazar raised, and what's important to us is not the question per se right now, it's the way that he phrased the question. Listen to what he said. L'divrei ha'omer, that the par Yom HaKippurim is a korban yachid. Did you get that? According to the shita that holds, that par Yom HaKippurim is a korban yochid. I mean, obviously referring to Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir was the one who was talking about the Mishnah and Temura, about how you can call the par Yom HaKippurim, which is Docha Shabbos and Tuma, how you can call it a korban tzibur. So he says, what would be the din, according to the man the Yomar who holds that the par Yom HaKippurim is a korban yochid, can it make a Temura or not? No. So you see that Rabbi Elazar is calling a Mandi Omar the one who holds it's a carbon yochid, as opposed to the other Mandi Omar who apparently holds it's a carbon tzibur. So lav miklav the ikal Mandi Omar tzibur. I mean, the way that he phrases it seems to be a question whether it's called a carbon yochid or carbon tzibur. No. No. I've already explained to you. You can either contrast a carbon yochid with a carbon tzibur, or you can contrast a korban yochid with a korban shutafim, and it would still be a valid question. What he's saying is, according to Rabbi Meir, it's a korban yochid and not a korban shutafim. So would that mean that the Kohen Gadol can actually make a tmura on his par? That's the question. Oh, that's interesting. All right, fine. I understand, so it's not relevant to our inquiry here. But what actually is the point of the question? So, Gufa, let me understand what Rabbi Elazar was asking. Boy, Rabbi Elazar, that if you're going to tell me, like Rabbi Meir, that the par Yom HaKippurim is a korban yochid, can it make a tmura or not? I mean, why would it not make a tmura? My kami boyle. So, what is he asking? I mean, apparently, He's asking that in determining whether a carbon can make a tumura, we need to first decide who the owner is. So if the owner is a yachid, so then it can make a tumura. If the owner is a company, then it cannot make a tumura, right? Which we darshan from the words im hamer yamir. Baruch Avram, you're falling asleep. Baruch Avram, come back. Yeah. Okay. So now the question is, perhaps, how do we determine who the owner is? Is the owner the person who gets the kapora? So then it's the kohanim. Is the owner the person who made it kodesh? So then it's the kohen gadol as a yachid. Is that the question? So ibatar magdisha azlinan, ibatar mitchaper azlinan. Do we look at the one who gets the kapora? Do we look at the one who made it kodesh? That can't be, because that's been well established. And everybody knows the answer to that. It's pshita. It's well known that we always go according to the one who is the mitchaper. And this was a set of rules that dealt with the definition of who an owner is. Who an owner is makes a big difference for a lot of things. It makes a difference for tumura. It makes a difference for who is going to be paying the extra fifth when you go ahead and you're going to be paid as something. It makes a difference for who is the owner when it comes to giving truma to decide which coin can get that truma. So there were a set of rules that was set down to Amr Bevo, Amr Yochanan. Look, in terms of defining who the owner is, here's the rules. A magdish, it's the guy who made the carbon kodesh, who, if he wants to be poda it, has to add the extra fifth, which is really a 25%, right? So that even if he made it kodesh for somebody else's kapora, it doesn't matter. He's the guy that's going to have to pay the extra fifth. In the case of tumura, it's the one for whom the carbon is being brought as a kapora. He is the one who's considered to be the balim to be able to make it a tumura, even though he didn't pay for it and he didn't make it kodesh in the first place. And when it comes to the question of who gets the right to define what coin gets truma, if you are paying for the truma and you took off your peres for somebody else's truma, then you also get the right to define what kohen gets that truma. Those are the rules. So, I mean, it's very unlikely that Rebbe Elazar was questioning those basic ideas which have been well accepted here. So what was he asking when he said, I'll leave it to Rebbe Meir, can you or can you not make a tumura on the power of the Kohen Gadol? I don't get it. What is there to discuss? I'll tell you. Le'olam, actually, it's pshitele. Of course he understood. Rebbe Elazar understood that the rule is that you go according to the mitchaper. But he was asking a very important question. You see, the reason that the mitchaper is oisa tumura is because the very fact that the carbon is being brought for you means that it is your carbon, and therefore we view you as being an actual owner of the carbon. However, in this case, the kapora for Echav HaKohanim was not necessarily a primary kapora that the carbon was being brought for, and therefore may not necessarily be considered your carbon in terms of its definition of tumura. And I'll explain to you why. There are two levels of kapora. One is where a carbon is being brought for that purpose, and that is called kiv'a. The kviyut of this carbon is for this purpose. Now, is it really true that the kviyut of the par that is being brought on Yom Kippur is for Kol Beit Aaron? Because there's another type of kapora. That kapora is called a floating kapora, mikufya. A floating kapora means that where you have a primary purpose in something, such as this carbon, where Aaron HaKohen is being brought to be mitzchaper on himself. And now he wants to include, along with himself in the second vidui, he wants to include all of Beit Aaron. That can be an ancillary kapora, which is called a kufya. It's floating along with the main kapora, but it still would not be the primary function of the carbon, and therefore would not provide a sense of ownership to those who were ancillary products of that kapora. So in the same way that we call all the thousands of people ancillary damage in blowing up the building, this would just be called ancillary kapara. So the main point was to get the guy that you're after. So over here, the guy that you're after for the kapara is Aaron. The rest, collateral damage, so to speak. So over here, the rest are collateral kaporas. Okay, that's my question. Is it bikviyuta mitchapre or is it bikufya mitchapre? So if they're just bikufya, so they're ancillary damage, right? They're mischapre, corollary mischapre. So can we bring a raya to that? Yes, we can bring a raya to that. Now, what we are about to get involved in is a lovely, lovely, almost condensed version of all of the various dinim of a primary zevach and a tmura. And it's going to take us through a lot of tangential jumps, which are going to be a lot of fun. And just remember that what we're looking for, ultimately, is trying to figure out whether we have a case, namely the Parco and Gadol, do we have a case where even though many people are getting a kapora, that nonetheless it would be possible to make a tmura? So we're going to make some assumptions about this braita that we're about to quote. And in the end, we're going to drop the assumptions, but meanwhile, we will have learned a great deal about the normal dinim of zvachim versus the normal dinim of tmurais and put it all into its place. So tashma, let's take a look at this braita. This is a braisa that summarizes the things that stand out in the dinim of karbonas, meaning primary karbonas, where you actually create a kedusha directly, which is called the zevach, versus the secondary kedusha, which is the tmura. So sometimes the primary zevach has greater chumras, and sometimes the secondary kedusha, which is the tmura, has greater chumras. Now, what we think that this means, which will turn out to be a mistaken assumption, but what we think that this means is that we're looking to contrast a particular zevach with the tmura of that particular zevach. And that is what's going to give us over here our raya. Obviously, that's not necessarily what it means. And in the end, it turns out that we're discussing the general concept of the dinim of tmura versus the zevach, not the particular tmura of this zevach. But let's pretend right now that we're right in making the assumption that if we have a particular zevach, there are times where you've got chumras in the zevach, and there are times when you have chumras in the tmura of that particular zevach. So here is where we bring our raya from. The zevach itself is more chomer because you can have a zevach that would be owned by a tzibur exactly the same way you can have a zevach that's owned by yochid. Now, that's not true about a tmura, right? Because imamer yamir means a tzibur can never be the owners of a tmura. So forget that. Another thing is that a primary zevach is docha Shabbos sometimes and docha tuma sometimes. And a primary zevach can make a tmura. But a tmura is never docha Shabbos, it's never docha tuma, and a tmura can never make a tmura, which we also know from the pasuk. But there's also things that are chomer in the tmura from the zevach. Namely, a tmura is possible to make on a bal mum kavua. You can't make the original kedushas haguf on a zevach. You can't take a bal mum and say, I'm making this bal mum a korban. All that will happen is it will become Kadosh B'Kedushas Domim, and the value will be used for the carbon. But it will not get a din of Kedushas Haguf. And if it doesn't get a din of Kedushas Haguf, when I'm poda it, what happens? It loses all vestiges of Kedusha, and I can do whatever I want with it. I can do Giza, I can do Aveda, I can eat it, whatever you want, because Kedushas Domim completely will disappear. Okay. So a tmura can be chal on a bal mum kavua, and since it can be chal on a bal mum kavua, it means that there will be kedushas haguf on that bal mum. And if there's kedushas haguf, I can never fully remove it. Because once something has kedushas haguf, it will never become completely chulin. It could become chulin for me to be allowed to eat it. to shecht it and to eat it. I will never be allowed to use it for gizah, so I can't shear its wool. I can't use it to work in the field, so it will never be yotze for chulin because zeis v'le'aveit. But that's not true of the zevach, because the zevach cannot create kedushas aguf if it's a balmum. So then that means that the tumur is more chomer. Okay, gentlemen, now, says the Gemara, you show me what zevach has that tumura, where these rules would be true of. Aha. So zevach echidami, come on, I dare you. I mean, if we're going to say it's a normal zevach of a yachid, so then how could we say, oh, the zevach is doche Shabbos and Tuma? Since when is a carbon yachid doche Shabbos and Tuma? Okay, so what are you going to tell me? Is the zevach that we're referencing over here, is it a carbon sibor? Since when can a carbon sibor make a tmura for us to be able to contrast the zevach primary and the tmura secondary? Uh-huh. There's only one possible case, gentlemen. Yes, indeed. It's the case that we've been talking about all along. It could only be the par of the Yom HaKippurim. And that way, it's doche Shabbos, it's doche tuma. Why? Because it's kavia lozman. But, ha-ha, look at this. It's osa tmura. It's the only thing. It must be that it's osa tmura because it has a din of a carbon yachid, which answers Rabbi Elazar's question. Obviously, despite the fact that echov ha-kohanim get a kapora, it's only corollary kapora mikufya. Ha-ha! Tell me that that wasn't brilliant. Says Rav Sheshes, look, there's an alternative. I mean, it could be talking about the elo shel Aaron, bepar ben bakar, the aisle. Now, the aisle comes from an oila, and it's also doche Shabbos, and it's also doche tuma, but it is not mechaper alecha v'kohanim, and therefore, it's also tumura. So what's the big raya? By the way, of course that's what it's referring to, achinami mistavra, because if you're calling the Talmud to try to tell me it's talking about the par, you're telling me the tumura of a par. So you said, well, it is not doche Shabbos, and it's not doche tuma. Excuse me? It ain't doche nothing. You can't even bring it. What are you going to tell me? The tmura of a par of a kohen, let's say that that's what it meant. Could you bring it if it wasn't on Shabbos? Of course not. You can't bring it at all. It's completely useless. It's a tmura schatas, and a tmura schatas is going to be lamisa asla. So how would you be calling it? Well, it's chomer because the zevach is chomer because it could be doche Shabbos v'tuma, but the tumura can't be doche Shabbos. The tumura isn't even in a kosher carbon, for God's sake. So, of course, it's referring to elo shel Aaron, and then that would be a tumura of an eila, and fine, okay, so that would be okay. Not necessarily. And now we're going to attack the whole basic assumption. You thought that we were talking about matching up a particular zevach with its particular tmura? No. We weren't talking about a particular case. We're saying, take a case of a zevach and compare it to the concept of tmura. That's the point. So we were referring to the par kohen gadol. And then when we said, oh, but the tmura is not doche Shabbos v'tu, we don't mean its tmura, for heaven's sakes. We mean any tmura. No tmura ever, shame tmura, no tmura ever will be doche Shabbos v'tuma. That's what we were saying. Oh, okay, so that, look, I mean, this is a little bit screwy here. You're telling me that when it comes to the zevach, we're referring to a particular zevach. Which zevach? The par of the kohen gadol. But when we're referring to the tmura that we're contrasting it to, we're referring to the general idea of a tmura. I mean, look, if you want to make a contrast, contrast general ideas to general ideas. So talk to me about Zvachim overall. So Ihachi Zevach Nami. We don't have to be talking about the par kohen gadol alone. We're not talking about a particular Zevach. We're talking about the idea. And we're saying, look, a Zevach is chomor because it's Deiche, Shabbos, and Tuma. Right? Can be. Can't be. Surprise. Why can't it be? Shame zevach lo katani. I'll prove it to you. Because what we're trying to do is contrast the overall concept you're claiming. Let's contrast the overall concept of zevach with tmura. And one of those contrasts will be that tmura is more chomor because tmura can be chal on a balmum kavua, which therefore will not be yotze l'chulin ligazes l'aved, where she'en kein, no such zevach exists. What about? How about a bechor? How about meiser? A bechor is chal on a baal mum. It's kadosh mirechem, whether it's got a mum or not. And a meiser, it says, lo yivaker beitov l'ra ra l'tov. You got to let whatever animal goes through, and it becomes kadosh. And what's the din? Lo yimacher, lo yigael. There is no way to take off the kedusha. Eino yotze l'chulin l'gozes liv of it. So how could we be referring to the concept of zevach and say, well, the zevach will never do that? Yes, it will. So therefore, we have a little bit of an uneven comparison. So where we're talking about tmura, we're talking about the concept of tmura. No such tmura exists that will be a tmura of a tzibur. True. No such tmura exists that will not be chal on a balmon. True. No such tmura exists that will be Dercha Shabbos and Bizarcha Tuma. True. But we cannot say the opposites on the concept, on the shame zevach. So we have to take a zevach and contrast in particular zevach with the concept of Tuma. Because Isaac Adaitach, my zevach, shame zevach, if you want to go that route and contrast it to the concept of zevach, what are you going to do with Bechor Meiser? Bechor HaMeiser are chal on a baal mum kavua, which therefore cannot be yotze l'chulin l'gozes v'le'aved. And there would be your whole breakdown of saying, oh, chomer b'tmura, it's not true. It's not chomer than any zevach. Therefore, shame zevach is not what we're referring to. We're referring to a particular zevach. That's why we said. So I understand. So, I mean, then why don't we keep it even? I mean, if we're going to refer to a particular zevach, so then let's refer to a particular tmura of a zevach. No? So how come by tmura were we ready to discuss shame tmura? So mashna tmura. Mashna tmura, that's the whole beautiful point. Don't you understand? The shame tmura is always the same. That's why it's so wonderful to make this contrast. You may find a zevach which has X or Y or Z, but every tmura is always the same. So if I try to say that the zevach is going to be contrasted by its shame, a zevach, you got a bechor, you got a meiser, but there's not a single case where a tmura could be owned by a tzibur. There's not a single case where a tmura can be brought on Shabbos. There's not a single case where a tmura is doicha tuma. There's not a single case where a tmura can make another tmura. There's not a single case that you cannot make a tmura on a balmum. There's not a single case where if you did that you would be able to be paid at it and it should be roi for working with or doing any type of giza on. So therefore, I want to show you, that's my whole point. I want to show you that tmura is a concept. Zvachim, you can find cases that you can contrast. Whew. So this was, man, one heck of a chock full daf. We went through basically half of Maseches Tmura. We got all kinds of wonderful insights into the dinim of Chatos HaMesos, that big sugya that we had in Zvachim. And meanwhile, we understand why it is still necessary for us to decide whether it's Bepar or Bedama Shopar or not. And that is that it is certainly possible that even after the death of the Kohen Gadol, the Par Kohen Gadol will still be kosher and not be considered a Chatos HaMesos because of the fact that it's a Chatos HaShutafim, therefore can't make a Tmura. And if all of the Chatos HaMesos were given together, then it also will not be Mesa just because its owner was Mesa.